Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to the Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Today, our guest is Corey Gill. Corey, how are you today?
Good. How are you, Qasim?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you. So, Corey, let us know where you live and what you do.
So I live in Boston, in the US, and I am the co-founder of Alia. Alia is a pop-up alternative for Shopify stores, so in e-commerce. So your normal pop-up, you put in your email, get a discount. Our pop-up is different in that it allows you to reward customers for learning. So you as a shopper can go in, learn about the brand and products through these kind of interactive lessons, and then get a discount for doing so. So I launched the company with my two other co-founders just under a year ago. And yeah, that's what I'm doing now.
That's fun. So what inspired you to start doing this, like to introduce this product?
Yeah, so my co-founder, his mom used to run a Shopify store, and she used to sell this traditional clothing from her culture. And a big part of what made it successful in person was that she could tell her story and educate shoppers on her brand, what made it unique, the process that went into it, what makes a product special. But then when she had to go online, it made it very difficult. So my co-founder, being a developer, he wanted to build a solution to help with that. And our product is really bringing the story to more shoppers' attention, the story of the products, the brand, like I said, and bring that two more shoppers. So it was originally inspired to help her with her brand. And yeah, now we've brought it to a lot of other Shopify merchants, which is cool.
Great. So how you define your audience or the targeted segment of the audience?
It's usually Shopify stores. We have some that are non-Shopify, but mainly Shopify. 1 to 10 million usually in revenue. Some larger and definitely some smaller as well. But generally, like, our ICP is 1 to 10 million. It's kind of two categories. One is they have a big focus on education, which could mean their products, usually means their products. They have a more complex product that requires a bit more touch points or a bit more consideration from shoppers. And then the other group is ones that have an interesting story. So often you'll find a fashion brand which with a unique founder who started the company for an interesting reason or some other interesting background to the company that by telling it to customers enhances the value of the product. So usually falls in those two buckets. And yeah, 1 to 10 million revenue usually is our sweet spot.
Great. So how do you differentiate your product from the others in the market?
Yeah, so the big thing is the education aspect. So most pop-ups are pretty much all the same, aside from the design or the design capabilities. That's the big difference, but the functionality of them are usually pretty much the same. Our big difference is the education focus, and kind of doing a bit more than a normal pop-up by allowing shoppers to do that. And there's other aspects that go into that. Like, we also have quiz capabilities that allow brands to recommend products or create a personalized experience. There's also more gamification that goes into ours. So it's really those three kind of pillars, like personalization, gamification, and then education, that make our offering a bit unique compared to other pop-ups or other engagement tools.
So to know more about the audience, how you define, like, what problem could be what problem would be the main reason to use your product? Like, if I'm facing XYZ problem, then okay, my solution is your product.
Yeah, usually it's brands that come to us and say they're not converting as many shops as they'd like, and they think a big part of that is because of education. Whether that means that they come on the website and they're not engaging enough with the content that they want to be engaging with, or they don't understand the product. And we're really bringing that aha moment where shoppers like, oh, I get it now, this makes sense, like, I understand it earlier in the buyer journey, which makes them convert at a higher rate. So usually it's where the brand is just thinking, or they have hard evidence that says not enough shoppers are converting for what we're doing. And we think that's because they're not being educated well enough on the product.
Makes sense. So what's the process of marketing? Like, acquiring a new customer is always a big challenge. So how you are marketing your product, and how do you acquire the new customer?
Yeah, so a decent amount is cold outbound by us, probably about 40%, probably 10 to 15% is word of mouth referrals now.
That's good.
Yeah. And then 10% I would say is events. Like, I just came back from Shop Talk, which is a big e-commerce event, going to stuff like that and sponsoring conferences as well, or like dinners, different things like that. Other ones, it's like we're listed on the Shopify App Store, which is basically like the Apple App Store, but for Shopify stores to install apps like ours. So brands can access this easily on there. And then the last one is content. So like we have our own podcast called E-commerce Innovators. Plus like we post on social media quite a bit as well. So driving traffic and leads from that. Those are kind of like the four main pillars. So cold email, events, content, and referrals and like word of mouth.
So what about the social media? Do you think your audience is not available on the social media?
No, they are. Like that's what I mean by content. It's just like content on podcasts and then content on social media as well. So like I really focus on Twitter and my co-founder really focuses on LinkedIn, and we kind of split up trying to do well in both.
Yeah, I believe these two verticals must be covering all of your, and not all of your customers, but yeah, a big number of your customers for sure.
Yeah.
So in terms of goals, what are you hoping on to achieve this year in terms of business growth?
Yeah, so I just graduated from school like 2 months ago, so or 3 months ago. So the company's still fairly new for the most part, at least like working out full time. Really want to get the business to a comfortable, more repeatable state by the end of the summer. Like we have some MRR goals and ARR goals that we have by the end of the summer, but really it comes down to like finding product market fit. And we're close and we're generating a decent amount of revenue now, but really finding like a repeatable sales process by the end of the summer. That's the big thing. And then seeing where it goes from there, because it's kind of the first big benchmark that we need to hit.
And in terms of achieving these goals, what you are currently doing?
The marketing strategy, like doubling down on what works well, big product, like lots of product iterations. I mean, that's basically just those two things, like continuing to develop the product, fine tune it, tweak it, refine it. Like before this, I was just watching a ton of videos of like how people interact with our application. So making minor tweaks and just continually iterating towards product market fit based off of feedback. And then, yeah, marketing the hell out of it pretty much.
So how do you measure the success for your business, especially in terms of this product?
Yeah, the big thing is just like the number of purchases that we drive from signups. Like our value prop is that we'll usually match a current pop-ups, your current pop-up signup rate, which is what most people use pop-ups for, but then 2 to 4 times increase in the purchases that come from signups. That's usually what we see. And that's really like what we want to have be our measure is an equal number of signups or close to, and then significant increase in purchases from those signups. That's our big number. So more incremental revenue for the same amount of signups.
All right. So can you share a craziest thing that happened while you were developing this product, or maybe you were launching the product at that time?
Craziest thing? I guess like one thing was that like we like used to walk around on the street to like different stores to try to like sell our solution before. And we didn't really come from like an e-commerce background. So like I used to walk into like huge brands like Aloe and like Allbirds thinking that they were like a mom and pop shop, and I would like walk in and try to sell our solution to them, and it would just be like a store manager for this multi-billion dollar corporation. And I thought they would use our solution just from like walking in there, because I thought they were just like any other store. Yeah, I guess that one's pretty wild. Or just like kind of by me, I guess.
So were you able to grab some attention from those businesses while you were going to meet them in person?
Some of them, like we got some of our early clients from them, but not like a ton, but we also probably weren't doing it in the smartest way, but we got a few. So it helped us in the beginning stages at least.
All right. Okay. So, let's talk a little bit about the long-term goals, where you are looking your product after maybe 2 years or 3 years.
What the product will look like?
Yeah, what the product will look like, and what would be the state of business, where you will be in terms of revenue?
Yeah, so I mean, in 2-3 years, like I mean, we might be acquired potentially. Hopefully, that would be that would be ideal, and would probably require us getting to like 1 million in ARR at least by then. And then in terms of product, there's a ton of things. Like, I mean, we just don't have product market fit. So like our short-term roadmap is jam-packed, but honestly our long-term is like pretty unclear for the most part. Like we have our vision of where we want to get to, and like customer education, rewarding customer education is like our core offering. And that's will still be the case most likely in 2 to 3 years, but how we do that might change and just adding more features. But right now we're just jam-packed with like small things and trying to tweak and refine it. Long-term, it's harder to say like what exactly the product will be like, I guess.
All right. So as your product is already mature, in a mature situation, and your short-term goal, short-term goals are defined, and you have a lot of things in your pipeline. So at this time, are you facing any challenges?
Nothing like super notable. Like we have a pretty good pipeline now of business. We close like a decent amount of it. It's really just like ramping that up and scaling it more, which isn't a huge challenge right now, but just getting more of it. And like we still don't have full product market fit yet, we don't think. So just reaching that, to be honest, but like we're making the right steps toward it. Luckily, we have, like, knock on wood, we haven't had any like catastrophic events yet or huge challenges in the way.
All right. If you can share a biggest challenge you have faced maybe in your beginning or any time till now, and how did you cope up with that challenge?
Yeah, the biggest challenge, or I guess like the biggest mistake I'd say like that we made was that we were just spending money that we had gotten from like grants, competitions, stuff like that. And it was completely useless for the most part. Like, especially in the early stages, it's just way more beneficial to not try to spend money on different activities because you don't need it to really ramp up early growth, at least in like e-com SaaS. And we just thought that it was an easy way to like pay to play. And it was just the opposite of what we should be doing. We wasted a lot of time on activities that didn't really help. And now like we've really honed in on our go-to-market strategy, but we thought that because we had some early success with clients that like putting money into it would just 2x or 3x the results that we're seeing. And that really isn't the case. And it's much better to focus on like the channels that you know will work than and double down, keep doubling down on that, which is what we're doing now. And a lot of those are unpaid and you don't really need paid channels to do super well in the early stages. Like there's plenty of companies that have gone to $1 million in ARR with pretty low spend. So that's what our big focus is now, is doing it lean, bootstrapped, and not spending too much money.
All right. So is there anything that you think like you would have done differently?
Launched faster. I have a long list.
Yeah.
Launched faster, not spending the money in a lot of the ways that we did, like on a lot of paid advertising in the early stages, like for college students, spending less time on like a lot of the pitch competitions and stuff like that, and focusing more on product and customer conversations, spending more time talking to the customers, putting in, if you're an e-com SaaS app or other SaaS app, putting in live chat on your dashboard or platform. It's a super easy way to communicate. What else? And post a lot, like be transparent online with posting and try to build a community as well. Just creating a lot of content. It's super valuable. And yeah, that's probably the main things.
Great. Corey, what would be your biggest piece of advice for the founders or the ones who are going to start their business?
Find a great engineer. If you're building SaaS products, find a great engineer. That's number one. And find a great like co-founding team. That's huge. And ignore 95% of the things that you would probably assume like startup founders do, and really just hone in on like product, customers, and finding one good channel at least to market it. And the rest will follow suit, I think, in most ways. It's like really easy to get distracted with useless stuff. So those three things alone will get you to the place, good enough place, and then the rest will follow from there, but just not distracting yourself with the other stuff.
So 95%, like in real.
Like I don't mean like I just mean like 95% of like there's really only like the list that I said of what you need to focus on. That's obviously not like that should take up 100% of your time, but there's like a huge list of activities that you could be doing. Especially as like a college entrepreneur, is that like you can just waste time doing a lot of like other activities and like those pitch competitions, grants, awards, different stuff like that, which can be valuable, especially for like hard goods. But there's just a lot of easy ways to waste time, and not do the necessary stuff of talking to customers a lot and like immersing yourself in the industry. And that's like far and away the most important.
Great. That's great. That's a beautiful advice, I think. And strategic advice as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, Corey, let us know how people can reach you. What is your website and how they can reach you? Maybe you can share your social media handles as well.
Yeah, so our website is alialearn.com. So alialearn.com. And then my Twitter is just Corey L. Gill. Yeah, I post way more on Twitter than LinkedIn, but still a decent amount on LinkedIn. But those two places are the best place to reach me. And then you could just follow Alia, Alia, on LinkedIn as well if you want.
Great. Thank you. Thanks, Corey. It was a nice discussion, I believe, and good advice as well. So thanks for joining us today.
Awesome. That was
Thank you.
fun. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.